One year I was banned for calling the Bobby Knight movie starring the late Brian Dennehy a mountain of elephant crap. Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitard. That's Mina Kimes and Bomani Jones. I am no longer suspended. Let's get started.
What do you make of Dabo Swinney's 14-minute speech?
14 minutes, and I want to have you know I watched all 14 of those minutes. Dabo Swinney put this out because he's gotten the blues from a few people about the way that he's handled some things in light of the current events and the things that are going outside. Dabo made a few points. One, that his assistant coach who used the N-word in a conversation with a player, he did not call that player an N-word. That's a distinction that he thought was very important and one that needed to be made. He also basically put out his bona fides. He let us know the black assistant coaches that he has hired. He let us know that he has created, quote, generational change for countless black athletes. And while that is largely true, that's also kind of sort of your job, right? There's only so much of a pat on the back that you wind up getting. Now, my complaint or my concern with Dabo was if he did not demand the proper accountability from the tight end coach, then I have some questions for him, right? The initial allegation came with you did not make him apologize to the team. I don't think that you can forgive a guy for that as quickly as Dabo seemed to. It seemed to me like there was more to be done in that case. I'm always going to feel that way, and he did not change my mind on that. At the same time, if your concern was whether or not he's the kind of person who cares about his players or at the very least recognizes that there's a moment in time right now that is changing people's views, he did seem to sell that point. He seemed to take things very seriously, and that at the very least I can give him.
I thought it was interesting to see all of the cases, incidents, allegations, whatever you want to call them, that Bomani just described laid out like that, right? Because individually, they're all pretty different. Some of them are still unresolved. But collectively, they paint a pretty obvious picture to me of a football coach who has been willfully blind to one of the central issues that's defined his players' lives for years. And you could say, you can't put those kinds of expectations on a football coach, but those are expectations of Dabo Swinney's own creation. He has always painted himself as more than a football coach, as a self-designated leader of men. But I think what we are coming around to as a society is the notion that when it comes to race in particular, listening is a key facet of leadership. And I don't know how you can hear any of that, all 14 minutes, and think Dabo Swinney's ears have been opened.
He had to do something, okay? You cannot be the program that he runs and have the N-word in this context or any context around your huddle. And so he sounds, like a lot of white people sound amid the discomfort of today, a little bit defensive. And he's showing you his black friend's resume. He's talking about the generational wealth that it should be noted that Marge Schott also helped certain Eric Davises with and Donald Sterling helped certain Baron Davises with. I understand why it is he's trying to do what he does as Clemson's former football players like DeAndre Hopkins, like Deshaun Watson, are petitioning to get a slave owner's name off of buildings on campus. Could he have done it better? He, of course, could have done it better. He could have sounded less defensive, but a proud champion is going to do things like this, is going to stick his shoulder into the buzzsaw and say, hey, look, I'm not a racist, and here's why. In this present climate, it would be better if he simply listened, but given where we are, he's got to say something, and I don't know that anything he said, other than I'm deeply, deeply sorry, is going to resonate at a time when college football players are no longer as powerless as they were 10 days ago.
Does Dalvin Cook have any real leverage?
I believe that Dalvin Cook is top five in terms of FSU players, up there with Jalen Ramsey and Deion Sanders and Warwick Dunn. Just electric talents unlike most that I've ever seen. But I am so tired of losing this argument to Mina Kimes when I say that you got to pay Melvin Gordon, when I say you got to pay Todd Gurley. This is a guy that I would want to pay. He is an absolutely unique talent. I would love to have this person in my backfield, but it's been proven already. These guys are largely disposable, and when they start at early in their career, as he should, to try and get the power because of the way their bodies break specifically at this position, I wouldn't pay very many of them. There aren't that many that are that kind of special.
Largely disposable, but not entirely disposable. Because, yeah, the argument against paying running backs with Gurley was they wind up getting hurt. However, the Rams didn't just keep on trucking after he got hurt. It was clear that they needed him in particular. My feeling is, if Kirk Cousins is my quarterback, and even his biggest proponents will tell you the only way to really make it work is if literally everything around him goes well, I might be inclined to give Dalvin Cook $13 million. Like, I think he's that good. I think he is that versatile. Like, if we were talking about a guy you just hand the ball to and run downhill, I would probably feel a little bit differently about it. But if I'm Cook, whether I have the leverage or not, I got to try right now. Aside from the fact that I ain't getting no younger, I don't know if you heard about this coronavirus that's out here, man, but risk is sky high for everybody. There's no way in the world I'm showing up generally to play football unless everything is the way that I want it. But specifically right now, you must be crazy.
I don't want to be this person every time. I don't want to make this argument over and over, but I have to because it's true. The question was about leverage. Here's the leverage Dalvin Cook has. He is a star. He plays for a coach who is determined to run the football at all costs. Here are the many, many things working against him. Injuries, right? The production they got out of their backups. The fact that the Vikings, even with Kirk Cousins, were more efficient throwing the ball than running it. And by the way, speaking of statistics, here is a public service announcement. Stop making the argument that X team, the Vikings in this case, win X games when Y running back runs for a certain amount of yards. That's just how football works, people. When you're winning, you run the football more. That's just a fact. I digress. Dalvin Cook is a great player. You guys are absolutely right. But when I hear him argue he wants to get paid $13 million a year, David Johnson money, I can't help but ask, what happened to David Johnson?
Like, I feel so torn whenever we have these conversations because I just can't go totally on the side of this makes perfectly good sense because it does. But we have turned the running back into something that don't matter. There's a whole generation of kids that all they wanted to do was be running backs. And now all we tell those kids, we'll throw you away after 4 years. That don't hurt nobody's heart. That don't make nobody feel bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, these kids don't have a Walter Payton. You know why? Because Mina over there making sense.
You know, we should tell them, play quarterback, play cornerback, play linebacker, play left tackle.
They be trying to play quarterback, but they be out here hating and being like, how'd you like to be a running back?
Frank Gore's looking at all of you and saying, what is everyone talking about? I'm out here and nobody can take me away from the football. I'll keep carrying 3 yards at a time all the way to Canton.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
Growing into his body, he is still very young, and now he is very young and swole. And I ask you guys, is this going to help him from three-point range? Is this going to help him with the one thing that he needs the most, which is to get a perimeter game? Because he's already plenty strong inside. He doesn't have to be much stronger inside.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Corona. Find your beach.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Do you question if Ben Simmons will come back as an improved basketball player?
Okay, if I were to ask you guys before the photo we're about to show you, hey, who is the team that has the two most muscular players, 1-2? You probably wouldn't have said Philadelphia and included Ben Simmons. I don't know how much muscles help a jump shot, but here is Ben Simmons growing into his body. He is still very young, and now he is very young and swole. And I ask you guys, is this going to help him from 3-point range? Is this going to help him with the one thing that he needs the most, which is to get a perimeter game? Because he's already plenty strong inside. He doesn't have to be much stronger inside.
Yo, why do you keep saying 3-point range? He can't shoot from 2-point range. He can't shoot from anywhere outside of 2 feet from the basket. This dude over here holding these 50-pound weights in his hand. You know what I saw behind him on the wall? A bunch of basketballs. The only thing this dude should have been doing is shooting basketballs. If he ain't have a basket at his house, that's fine. There is no reason in this time that he should be doing anything in this world other than shooting jump shots. I would not be mad if he came back into the bubble in Orlando and he had forgotten to dribble, because the only thing he had been doing is shooting jumpers. Instead, what's he over there doing? Push-ups. For what?
But how many times on this very program have we been forced to watch a grainy video of Ben Simmons making a three in practice while his, you know, friends and teammates cheer, and then had to debate the issue? Does this mean Ben Simmons is fixed? I am relieved. I do not want to watch those videos anymore. I no longer believe them. Ben Simmons is no longer trying to trick us. He is just leaning into what he can actually do. I don't care if he makes a single shot, because I know it's not going to translate at this point.
Yo, put this back up on the screen, because I know that some of y'all may be too young to appreciate this. Y'all remember David Boston? Like, is this going to be a situation where we look up in 2 years and then next thing you know, Ben Simmons weighs 275 pounds?
I'd like to play this game, though. Guys who should have been better based on their musculature. Bo Outlaw. Who else we got?
I'm trying to think.
Guys who should have been better.
You remember Otis Thorpe? I mean, he was good, but Otis Thorpe looked like
that's
the strongest dude in the world.
That's a good one. That is a good one. That guy, Otis Thorpe, looked like he was the only one in the league at that time who was lifting weight. He looked like the only one.
It's LaRon, the guys that
Landry,
get out of control.
LaRon Landry. Yes, that guy, they will be able to put up a picture here of LaRon Landry, and those are not arms. Those are very obviously thighs that he has right under his shoulder.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Napa Know How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Corona. Find your beach. On A&E, Billy the Exterminator.
All right, Mina is telling you no already. She is doing some foreshadowing here as it relates to CO. No, not respecting the game the way it needs to be respected by telling us what her answer is already. Let's see this exterminator. What happens?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Pretty good.
I just got a call from the office saying that we got that raccoon.
We got him.
Come on.
Awesome. There's several dangers in dealing with a trapped raccoon. First of all, I can scratch and bite your face off if you're not careful. What I'm going to have to do is jump into that dumpster with a snare and a trap. I'm going to try to snare the raccoon and stick him into the trap. That's the plan. What's up, dude?
I'm coming down to hang with you, boy. Okie, drink some of that whiskey I see in here. Ugh. Ah, he's mad. Hang tough, dude. I'm bringing this cage in. Ugh. All right, we're going to set this on up over here.
Raccoons are cute-looking animals. A lot of people think they're cuddly-looking, but you corner one, they'll tear you up. I'm here to help you, man.
Oh, wow. That was scary at the end. Vince Neil or Bret Michaels has hit really hard times there after being a rock and roll star, now has to chase down raccoons. Mina, are you intrigued?
I'm not intrigued, but because I care about this program, I did do a little bit of research and found out that this fellow, Billy the Exterminator, has apparently been at this for a long time, many years, which leads me to wonder, how angry was he when he turned on Netflix and saw Joe Exotic and realized that he had stolen his whole shtick and become a superstar?
Bomani, how about you? Are you intrigued?
I am not intrigued, but I do think these programs are important, like this one in particular, as a PSA, because nobody has done a better job of public relations than the raccoon. Somehow the raccoon has told people, we have told people that the raccoons in this world are cuddly. Do you see a picture of those teeth that that raccoon had? Like, I don't think people understand truly how big raccoons are. You know how big you got to be to make a hat out of them like Davy Crockett did? You need, yeah, Billy the Exterminator. We need more guys like you because we got a lot of raccoons.
Great question there. Who's got the better public relations, the raccoon or the bald eagle that is draped in the flag but is basically a buzzard? I'm not even kidding about that. That's all the time we have for today. A lot of good podcast content from these two. Bomani Jones, The Right Time with Bomani Jones is vital right now, essential. And I don't mean to insult Mina Kimes by saying she's got two podcasts, neither of which is quite that essential right now. But you should check them out anyway. ESPN Daily, I horrified her. And the certainly less essential Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny.
Previewing the NFC South this week.
As I mentioned, not essential. To Bomani's point, and we've played this a lot on this show, years ago with Bomani when we used to sit next to each other, this raccoon here has a certain hall of fame in our animal category for just being mean, vicious.
Don't want these problems, man.
I've never seen this.
Oh, really? You're going to be horrified by it.
It's caught in some sort of trap. It's kind of cute.
No. It's in a garbage can that it is tipped over.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's
what
you get
for. Hello, little raccoon. Uh-oh. Hello, you cute little face.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
What we try to tell you.
No, wait, Mina. Wait for it. Here we go. You want some? Oh.
The cuddly wuddly raccoon.
That's
will
right.
Eat you.
That raccoon ate face for lunch.
That raccoon can scoop.